This conference is being recorded.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Taham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripasanabhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Well, good morning, everybody. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here in your association. There's no better place to be anywhere within the three worlds, because when we come together to glorify Krishna, then Krishna personally appears. And this is what Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita as the occupation of those who are in devotional service. Machita magata prana bodhayanta parasparam The devotees use their life breath to describe Krishna, to speak his names, to tell other people about him. And everyone's looking for some nectar in the world. It's the nature of the soul to look for nectar. If you just sit in a garden anywhere and you look out, you'll notice that every moving and non-moving creature is reaching out, trying to taste something, trying to feel something, trying to see something. The birds are flying around, they're catching things, they're singing, they're associating with each other. Even the creepers, the jasmine plant, it's reaching out its branches, its tentacles, and trying to catch onto things and grab on. And every living entity, actually, it's the original nature of the soul, ananno mayo bhyasat, to be full of bliss and to taste nectar at every minute. But looking in the material world is futile, because the pleasure that comes from the contact that we get through material senses with the external world is temporary. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga tukayonaya evate. Adyantavantakonteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says that those who are intelligent, they don't take pleasure in the contact between the senses and the sense objects. Why? Because there's a beginning and an end to that kind of sense pleasure. Nateshu ramate buddha. There's no rama, there's no pleasure in that, because they see that it ends. Real pleasure doesn't have an end. It continues forever. And that's the kind of pleasure that comes from devotional service and engaging directly in contact with Krishna in various ways. That's described as the Rajavija, Rajakuyam, Pavitramidam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukam. Rajavija Rajakuyam, Pavitramidam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukam, Paramavyayam. It goes on forever, the kind of pleasure that you get when you engage in devotional service. And Krishna says it's the king of all knowledge to know this, to understand this science of how to actually connect with Krishna. It's the highest science. Out of all the sciences and all the kinds of knowledge everyone's looking for, this is the most important knowledge. Rajavijja, Rajaguyam. And it's secret, and it's really interesting why it's secret. It's not disclosed to everyone. It's disclosed everywhere. Bhagavad Gita is an open secret. I mean, it's distributed all over the world. It's even available in languages all over the world, but people miss the message. If you go out, and most of you do, to show Bhagavad Gita to others or to explain it, you can stop people and say, here, please take a look at this Bhagavad Gita spiritual knowledge. And a common answer is, I'm already okay. I don't need it. Okay. Or, I don't have any time. Prabhupada once wrote an article called Chronic Disease of Modern Man, No Time. That's when he was himself going out personally and distributing back to Godhead magazines in New Delhi. And he wrote this article, Chronic Disease of Modern Man, No Time. No time to stop and look inward and try to understand a little bit of this Rajavidya, the highest of all knowledge. So it remains secret because people turn their back to it or they misinterpret it. They don't want to hear it correctly. It takes a sincere soul, actually, to enter into the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita and to understand it. Therefore, although it's open, it remains a secret to most people in the world. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. Krishna says, out of many millions of men, one may endeavor for perfection. Of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. It's a very rare thing to actually come out of the dream of material life and turn inward and search for Krishna. Pavitram means that it's all purifying. This is the order of the day, the purification, because we already exist. We're already something. In the different modes of material nature, we become deluded and we look outside ourselves for some kind of happiness. And, for instance, in the mode of passion, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning, it's like amrit. It seems just like the nicest thing in the world. But in the end, it becomes like poison. Whereas happiness in the mode of goodness in the beginning, it's like poison. It seems very difficult and against the natural course of the senses, but in the end it becomes like amrit, the greatest happiness. The mode of ignorance is suffering from beginning to end, but one's hands are tied and you can't get out of it, and you have to go on enduring that kind of misery. So one has to simply become purified by being exposed to devotional service, and this is pavitram. It's completely purifying. It takes away the coverings of the three modes of material nature that insulate us from our actual eternal relationship with Krishna. Pavitram idam uttamam. It's the most purifying process. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, and it's directly perceived. This is very important because unless I experience it for myself, unless I actually get real happiness and knowledge, and I feel detachment from the rest of the world, factually, from performing the process, whatever process I'm performing, then I won't continue it, because it's my nature to move on to find something better. Devotional service is the best thing. It's uttamam. But unless I actually practice it in a way that I can experience it for myself, pratyaksha, and see it and feel it myself, and I have evidence now for myself. I've seen it directly. This is called anubhava, that I see for myself. And therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is described, bhakti parushanubhava viraktir anyatra traisha trika eka kala prapadyamanasya yatasnata sus tushti pushti shud apayonugasam. It's described, the process of devotional service, to be like a hungry person eating food. And when someone is very hungry and they take palatable food, they get nourishment, they get satisfaction, and with every bite, their hunger is eradicated. and no one has to tell them. They know for themselves. It's intrinsic. So similarly, by performance of the direct process of devotional service, especially the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, one experiences for oneself a feeling of bhakti. That means gratitude grows naturally. It will expand from my heart because it's already there. And I'll begin to look around at the world in a different way. I'll see that everything that's going on in the universe actually is meant for my purification, and I'll see its connection to Krishna. And I'll be able to perceive in the name of Krishna that this is something divine. It's not like any other sound vibration. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of the gopis hearing the flute of Krishna, and they become stunned by that sound of the flute. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada says that the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra is the same as that flute song of Krishna. Mm. As we become accustomed to hear that flute sound and the Hare Krishna mantra, we'll come to a point, although it may not be fully defined what it is, we will be sure for ourselves that it's not like any other vibration within this material world. Sometimes that sound will be so profound in our lives that it'll feel like it's coming at us like a freight train. I can tell you for myself in Vrindavan during the Kartik season. I go there every year, and one time I usually stay at Govardhan, but I come to visit the Krishna Balaram temple. And in the evening time, there's a singing of the Damodar Ashtakam, chanting Hare Krishna. And Aindra Prabhu leads the kirtan at that time normally. And people pack in to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra with full enthusiasm right in front of Krishna Balaram. And the temple room is normally so full at that time during the festival that you can barely squeeze through. And when you walk in and that Mahamantra is going full force, I've felt it myself walking into the room as if being hit by a freight train of the holy name. And then I'll watch and I'll see other people walk in, pilgrims from all over India. They'll walk in wondering, what is this place? What is this temple? Who are all these people here, Americans and Europeans and everyone coming in? And all of a sudden, walking in with a sort of inquisitive look, or even some of them look serious, they also get hit by the freight train of the holy name. It's coming so strong down the tracks. And they are jolted practically and begin to dance. I've seen people just lose control and start to dance under the power of the holy name. So this means that this anubhava, one's actually experienced for oneself, this fact that the holy name is divine, that it moves one from a level that no one's ever felt before. And then comes virakti. Virakti means having tasted that. Param drishva nivartate. It means if you actually see it for yourself, if you taste it from chanting like that or hearing someone else chant it like that, and it hits you in a way that you weren't expecting, then you get virakti. It means a natural detachment from this mode of passion of the material world. The mode of passion in the material world means I'm always trying to become something more. Because I'm insufficient in and of myself, the body's not sufficient, my position's not sufficient. If I make a goal to earn $1 million, as soon as I get the $1 million, the mind and the mode of passion will say, it should be $2 million, it needs to multiply. And when you get $2 million, it has to be $8 million. It goes on forever. It never stops, the mode of passion. When one comes to a purified state, starting with the mode of goodness, in the pure mode of goodness, one realizes, I don't have to become something because I already am something. I exist eternally, and that's a blissful state. It means I can't die. I'm forever existing. I exist. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhaktim Labhate Param. From that position of seeing I exist and I never die, just from that position, one naturally enters into that's the threshold of entering into pure devotional service. So Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam, that's why this devotional service, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna, is the perfection of all religion, because one connects oneself directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and experiences his eternal nature just by the chanting, just by the connection with the holy name. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam. And happiness is the first symptom of advancement in spiritual life. One becomes jolly. It means that there's a great burden lifted from my head. And that's what material life is. So many responsibilities to this body, and this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Along with our birth, Devarshi Bhutapna Nrinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayam Rani Charajan Sarvatmaraya Sharanam Sharanyam Kato Mukundam Parihrita Kartam. As soon as I'm born, and even before I'm born, in the continuum of my material life, carried by the debt that I have, because of karma, because I'm taking, now I owe, and I have to pay back. Bhagavatam says, Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, all the different entities in the world we owe to, we have a huge bill with interest that we have to pay back. So we're born into this life with a gigantic karmic debt. Actually, we can never pay it back. There's no way. It's just like if you get in so much debt, nowadays, this has happened to many, many people in America. They overextended. They took risks. They, just for the sake of easy living and living in a comfortable place, they overextended themselves. And they took so many things on credit. And now they have to declare bankruptcy and give it all up. So this material life is a great burden like that. So therefore, Karbhajana Muni says, Devarsha Bhutapna Nrinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayam Rani Charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Kato Mukundam Harisritakartam. There's only one solution to this great debt, and that is one has to go before the judge and declare that I can no longer handle it. So one who understands that there's no end to this material debt, he goes before Krishna and he surrenders. He says, I give up. And then Krishna indemnifies him from this. That's why he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tong Sarva Papi Bhyo Moksha Ishami Masuja. Abandon everything else. Just surrender to me. I'll protect you. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not hesitate. So when we take to the direct process of devotional service, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not some speculation, but it's a need from the core of our heart, understanding that I'm swamped. I'm beaten down by the modes of material nature. I'm bound down. I'm beaten down. And I am in so much debt that I'll never pay it back. One should feel like this, that I'm lost in this material world. I have no hope whatsoever. As soon as one gives up all hope of any kind of adjustment to the material life, then you're in the ideal position for taking to spiritual life. There's no hope, and this is called the yoga of disappointment. This is given throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, their story of Pingala, the prostitute, who gave up hope. She became so disappointed with her life, it led to her experiencing surrender to Krishna. The Avanti Brahmana, he's another case. He had so many responsibilities. He had land, he had money, everything, and everything went sour. And he, out of his great disappointment, he surrendered to Krishna. This is great fortune. So if I come to this position, feeling in my heart there's no hope here in the material world, then I can begin the process of direct devotional service to Krishna, and that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's the simple process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age. It's evocative, a prayerful way of calling out to the Lord in his names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These names of Krishna, they're directly Krishna himself, and they have all of his personal energies, Nija Sarva Shakti, his personal energy of Yogeshvara, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is invested in his name. And what is the mode of chanting the name? I was distributing books with my good friend Madhu Kanta Prabhu, and we were in Santa Cruz, California, and he had stopped a group of three young ladies, and they bought books from him. They were very friendly and open-minded. and innocent, sort of inquisitive young women, and they bought the books, and then he taught them how to chant the Ma Mantra. He gave them a card, and he said, "This is a prayer to God. You can repeat after me, and I'll show you how to do it." And they chanted the mantra following his lead. And afterwards they said, "So what does it mean?" And I was thinking, yeah, I want to hear what it means too. So Madhukanta, being a saintly devotee, I leaned closely to hear what he was going to tell them. And he said, "It means I need help." And when I heard that, I thought, yeah, this is the perfect explanation of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the next day when I was chanting the Maha Mantra, doing my japa rounds in the morning, I was thinking over and over again, "I need help, I need help, I need help." And I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I was thinking, yes, this is the way to cry out the Maha Mantra following the instruction of Madhukanta Prabhu, that I need help, I need help, I need help. And in that, there's complete satisfaction, because I do need help. Everyone needs help in the material world, as compared to an ocean that we've been dropped into, and we have to cry out to the Lord for his rescue. So, therefore, susukam kartamaviyam, this is an eternal process, and it's completely filled with happiness. And just by engaging in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, out of all the 64 processes that we've been discussing, we know now that 5 are most important. And out of those 5 items, chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is said to be the most important of the 5. So there's a progressive path in chanting. And when we come to devotional service, in the beginning, we have a little bit of faith that I should be engaged in spiritual life. Adau, in the beginning, Shraddha, I have this faith, this inclination to take the spiritual life. Ado Shraddha Tata, Sarusanga. And then we come to seek the association of devotees, and from that association we get Bhajana Kriya, which means the devotees will engage us in a regulated process of devotional service. Someone the other day in class asked this question, that if devotional service is so spontaneous and it's meant to be done in a spontaneous way, what is it with all these rules? We have so many rules, the prohibitions, don't do this, and chant 16 rounds at least every day, and how is it we do it such in a regimented way? And in the beginning of devotional service, I may not experience that taste. There will be a balancing act between my material life and my practice of spiritual life. And because of being associated with matter since time immemorial, my tendency over and over again is to take shelter of matter again and again. And therefore, when I begin my spiritual life, in the initial practice, the mind, the senses, they'll be inclined to go back again and again, to their original habitual patterns, taking shelter of matter. The mind will want to take shelter of sense gratification. The senses will want to have their objects of sense desire fulfilled. So in the beginning, one has to be very careful to engage in devotional service in a balanced and regimented way, under the protection of a devotee, under the protection of someone who has experience, who can help us. That means one should have a spiritual master. One should also have good association with sadhus. And one should be taking regular help from the Shastra, like the Bhagavad Gita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this kind of balanced devotional service is described by Krishna to Uddhava, when he says that just like when a person is taming a horse, a wild horse doesn't like to be tamed. It's hard to even catch it in the beginning. And when you catch the horse and you put him in a corral, he'll run around and run around and run around and run around. And then if you put a rope around his neck, he'll resist, he'll rear up. But gradually, as you talk to him and you make a relationship with the horse and you convince him, "No, I'm your friend. It's okay. I'm the one feeding you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm your well-wisher." Sometimes he'll come close, and then other times he's still wild, so he'll still rear up. He'll start still try to run away. So Krishna told Uddhava, one has to be like an expert horse master, and sometimes the rope, he lets it out a little bit. And then other times he draws it back in a little bit. He lets the rope out, he brings it back in. And one has to know how to take to the regimented process of devotional service in a practical way so that it's not all pulling in, but we know how to balance and we know how to stay steady so that we are taking the essential parts of devotional service, especially the chanting, as the center point of our life. So in that, there's another example given by Rupa Goswami, and that is that he says, from material conditional side, we're in a diseased condition. And that means we have to take some kind of diet, we have to take some kind of medicine, and we have to do it the way the doctor says. I have a friend, whenever we go to India, he gets sick sometimes, and then he'll go to the doctor, and the doctor says, here's 10 pills, take one a day for 10 days. So he comes home and he says, I'm going to take 5 right now, and that'll speed up the process. I say, no, don't do that. But he does it anyway, and then he says, oh, the medicine doesn't work, and he goes to try something else. So we have to take the prescription in a regulated way. And Rupa Goswami says, in the beginning, when we are taking the medicine, it may feel like it's not being effectual. And he gives the example of when you have jaundice, and there's a prescription often when you have jaundice to take this sugarcane juice, because there's a way in which it helps your liver to process the and defeat the condition of jaundice. And the problem is when you first take sugarcane juice, it also tastes bitter, because there's a bilious secretion. Too much bile is being excreted into the system, and even on your tongue, it tastes bitter. So when you taste sweet things, it tastes bitter. So the sugar candy, the cure, actually tastes bitter itself. But as you gradually and regularly, as you regularly take the medicine, then out of duty, then gradually the disease subsides, and you can taste the sweetness for yourself. You know that it's sweet, and then you can actually appreciate it. So Rupa Goswami says, this is the same with the chanting of Hare Krishna. Undoubtedly, it's the sweetest thing. In fact, those who are well, those who are spiritually awake, say that while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, 2 ears are not enough. They want millions of ears to catch the nectar coming from the Hare Krishna Mantra, and they want millions of tongues, so that they can go on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra unlimitedly. But in the disease condition, it's sometimes difficult to stop, regulate the mind, and say, I'm going to chant today. But if we do it dutifully in the beginning through rules and regulations and say, I'll count the number and I'll stick to it as a vow, then gradually, taking that medicine in the prescribed way, I'll begin to taste the sweetness for myself, and the layers of ignorance will be shed by the power of the chanting of the holy name. And gradually I'll taste the sweetness for myself. And then all the acharyas describe, Krishna bolabe jabe pulakhabe jorbe anki bolitai, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when I chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my hairs will stand on end, that I'll feel shivering in my body, tears will come to my eyes by this process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this was exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well, after he received initiation from his spiritual master, and he began chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then he thought that he had gone mad. He went back to his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, and he said, what kind of mantra did you give me? Is this correct that I'm going crazy like this? And his spiritual master gave him a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most essential verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatan rago chita chuta ucha hasatyato rotiti roti gayati unmadava nrittiti lokabhayaha. And it means that when one takes a vow, evam vrata, a vrata, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then gradually one will become attracted to the name and to a particular name, in a very special way, in a unique way that you've never experienced before. You become attached to the name. And then as you continue, jhuta chitta means that your heart will melt. Material life means that the heart is in a calcified state. It's very hard. And in chanting Hare Krishna mantra, the heart actually melts. Jhuta chitta. And when one's heart melts, one becomes joyful. One begins to dance. One begins to sing, feel happiness at every minute. And sometimes, lokabaya, the devotees don't care for the outsiders, and they'll just go crazy, and they'll roll on the ground, they'll cry in public, things like that. This is very advanced devotees. Sometimes they do that. Madhvacharya, commenting on that verse, says that not all devotees who are very advanced show those kinds of symptoms. They hide them. But there are two symptoms by which everyone can tell if someone has reached an advanced stage in devotional service. And that is, one, that everything that comes from the mouth of such a person is merciful. In other words, they're always speaking for the benefit of others and to give them the highest benefit of life, Krishna consciousness. There's no envious katha coming from their mouth. And the second thing is their steadiness, that they never miss. They're always there for their devotional service. That they can't help it because they have such a taste. They couldn't give it up even for a second. So those are the two symptoms by which we can judge ourselves also, seeing what our speech is, how we're talking, what vibration we're making, and also how steady we are. You can judge for yourself what your character is in devotional service by seeing how you act when you're all by yourself. Just observe yourself. You see, how is it now that I'm acting? Now that I have time on my hands and I'm all by myself, what is my inclination? What will I do now? Then you can see what is your level of advancement. If you're very advanced, you won't be able to give up devotional service even for a second. This is one of the symptoms of advancement in devotional service. So this vrat, this vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the beginning, we do it in a regulated way, and we may not have taste. Sometimes we'll experience that we're chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, and we say, I'm going to do 16 rounds, that I'll sit down to chant my rounds, and I'll get up to 14 rounds, no taste, 15 rounds, no taste, 15 and a half rounds, no taste, 15 and three quarters rounds, all of a sudden, taste. So you can't give up because you don't know. Maybe on the last bead when you're just finishing your 16 rounds, you'll get a taste. But that one tiny second of taste from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is worth all the wealth in all the material worlds combined. If you took all the happiness that was available in the material world through material acquisition, through sense pleasure, through liberation, and you put it into a syringe and you inject it into your body, it cannot equal the happiness that you get from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and feeling your connection with Krishna. So we need to get that. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his famous bhajan, Nam Gai Gora Madhusvare, he says, take this advice that just one time try to get that taste, because it's the most valuable thing to have that taste for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is also in another song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that if you can get some ruchi for this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then your life becomes perfect. This is what the human life is meant for. It's meant to develop ruchi. He says, Takon Krishna Name Ruchi Habe Guche Be Bandan, that once you have a taste for the holy name of the Lord, your attachment to this material world will come to an end, virakti. You'll drop it, you'll become unglued, you'll become unhinged from the material world in a natural way. There'll be no question of hanging around here anymore, because you'll be off and running after something that is so unusual and so sublime that you will not be able to be stopped. But in the beginning, that requires diligence. Just like in any practice, if you want to become good at anything, You have to put devotion into it. You have to practice the keyboard until your fingers are calloused. You have to, you know, swing a cricket bat until your hands bleed if you want to be a world champion. So if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to have extraordinary determination. And this is the same in chanting. You can't pick up the beads and chant half-heartedly and be distracted. Look at the screen of your computer at the same time and then think, oh, I'll get something from this. Because it's a relationship. You're developing a relationship with Krishna. Just as you're trying to develop faith in Krishna, he's seeing if he can develop faith in you. It's a two-way street. And therefore, we should show Krishna that we're faith-worthy. Just like if you have an employer and you start going late every day, he's 2 minutes late, 30 seconds late here, cutting out early. After a while, he'll become disgusted with you and start to think, this is not a very good employee. He's not very interested in helping this company. He may even lock the door one day and say, you can't come in. In school, there was a teacher I knew. If people were late, he'd lock the door and he wouldn't let them in. They'd have to stay outside the class, look through the window. So Krishna will do that too. If we're lax in our chanting Hare Krishna and we think, oh, you know, I can do it halfway today, it's not important, then we may get locked out so that our desire develops again, and we realize that this takes diligence. So if we're going to put our energy into devotional service and we do it in a consistent way and we remember to organize our life around the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, especially our japa rounds every day, this is our personal practice, and it's our personal relationship with Krishna. This is where it will all be one, here in this japa chanting every day of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Consider the fact that we already have 24 hours in a day, and then make yourself a chart and see how much time you spend doing all kinds of other activities. What does it take to chant 16 rounds a day? Maybe 2 hours, maybe a little bit more. If you take that out of your day, that's less than 10% of your day spent in relationship to Krishna. And then if you consider in your chanting of the 16 rounds, how much are you actually concentrated on Krishna? Are you actually taking your mind away from your worldly considerations and actually letting it rest at the lotus feet of Krishna while you're chanting, actually taking shelter of Krishna? Out of 16 rounds, how many mantras are you actually concentrating on the holy name of the Lord and getting into that surrendered state? And then if you look at it carefully, you may see that very, very little time I'm spending in direct devotional service. So this is where we'll make advancement. Concentrate on how to increase that contact time with the holy name. And when we are chanting, be very serious. Go to a place where you won't be disturbed. If you know you're going to be disturbed in a certain place, go somewhere else. And let people know, I don't talk during this time. I'm concentrating on Krishna. This is my devotion at this time. And if you can do that every day and practice over and over again, the result will be there very quickly. Janayashu vairagya means very quickly all these things come to someone who puts full determination into it. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita. Janayashu vairagyam jnanam chayara haitukam. It's amazing. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you don't have to do anything else. It's so simple. It's so easy. Lord Chaitanya gave us this process. And if we just do this one thing without remonstration, without balking at it, without questioning it, we just try it, just do it, enter into it, then jnana, vairagya, everything necessary to give us strength to move ahead in devotional service will be there automatically, and our lives will become happy and sublime. So there is no other process in the age of Kali Yuga. Mahaprabhu made this very clear. Harirnama, harirnama, harirnama eva kevalam. Kalau nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. He gave us this verse from the Brihan Naradiya Purana. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way than the chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names, all progress, all bliss, all wealth, all happiness, all success, everything is there complete within the holy name. Nam, guna, rup, lila, Krishna complete. complete within his holy name. And all we have to do is show up for it and pay attention. That's the main thing in chanting, is to pay attention. So if you pay attention, then Krishna does everything else. He's so kind. He's so powerful. Just pay attention and keep your mind coming back to the mantra over and over again. And then we'll experience for ourselves, and we'll be eager to give it to other people as well, because we'll see it's like fire. It catches. And if you distribute it, the fire will continue to spread. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna. Loka?
Hello?
Loka, it's now quarter till.
Prabhu, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I had muted myself.
Okay. I just wanted to see if there was any questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. My name is Nanda Dulal Das.
Hare Krishna, Nanda Dulal Prabhu, please accept my obeisances and full glories
to Prabhupada. I was wondering that, you know, I'll get something about book distribution, but you gave, you know, now about the chanting, you know, very good, you know, because this is the first time I and my question is that, you know, how to get utshaha or enthusiasm in chanting. We know that I'm doing it, you know, for so many years, but sometimes we get disheartened, you know, for some situation which affects the chanting next day, even if it's 4:30 in the morning. So I want your advice about that.
The best way to get utsahan, enthusiasm, is by association. Those who have utsahan, enthusiasm, they spread it to other people. I've felt this in many situations in my life, not just in devotional service, but you can see even in ordinary endeavors. You can be in a room of people talking about some subject matter, but when someone comes in who's more enthusiastic, it lifts up the entire room. And sometimes even I've felt when I see somebody so much more enthusiastic than me, my first feeling is shame, like, oh, I wish, why wasn't I this enthusiastic before? I didn't even think of that higher level of enthusiasm until I saw it in someone else. So seeking out people who are more enthusiastic than me is a sure way to become enthusiastic. It rubs off. It's very quickly attained when you get around people who are enthusiastic. So we should search out this kind of association. Find people, if you want to become enthusiastic about chanting, associate with people who are enthusiastic about chanting. It just because we're on this call today, specifically the call was about the holy name, and because we're taking time to come together and talk about it today, that will create enthusiasm. Where attention goes, energy flows, and when we bring our attention to a certain matter and we also hear about it, about how important it is, and we remind ourselves, then we naturally become enthusiastic, because our attention will go in that direction. But we have to do it regularly. That's why we hear every day, because the mind flies around the universe in unpredictable ways, and there are so many distractions in Kali Yuga. So we should hear regularly, and we should associate with those who have enthusiasm, and then we'll be able to attain a high level of enthusiasm. For myself, I know I can trace back when I've gotten a very good and practical kinds of infusions of enthusiasm in my life. And I think back to times when I took the time and trouble, for instance, to travel to the Holy Dham during Kartik and associate with others who were very serious about hearing and chanting. And by their association, just for a little while, like a few weeks or a month, then I became fully infused with whatever they had. So that's my advice, enthusiasm. Loka, there's some really loud wind noise.
Yeah, it's in the background. Anyway, I thank you, Mr. Sukha Prabhu. No, it was enough. But thing is, that what you told, that's true. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, there was a lot of background noise. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
But I know that sometimes it's not possible. When I was in Mayapur, you know, I knew what you told, and it is true. But when you come out, you know, again, you know, we are in the Rajagun or Tamagun, the place, you know.
Yes,
so,
but then in those cases, Nanda, you have to create your own association. Like, look at what Loka is doing. He's organizing these telephone calls.
Yes.
So the vibration is there. I do this all the time. I have connections with my God brothers all over the planet. I have a list of devotees who are especially encouraging to me in devotional service and whom I associate with, some of them on a daily basis. Some of them live in India. And now you can, every day I make a Skype call to one of my dear God brothers and we talk about philosophy and we encourage each other. This is the process. Machitta magata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantashtamam nityam tushanti charamantita. So organize, use your technology. That's why it's there. Use the technology to stay in contact. You can email advanced devotees. You can stay in touch with them through Skype. If you're in a remote place but you have internet, you can do that. And if you don't go high tech, also you can create a space in your home and invite people into it. Even if you invite new people who are unaware of Krishna consciousness and you teach them what you know, you'll also gain enthusiasm from that. Krishna will enthuse you from within the heart. The root meaning of this word enthusiasm means entheos. Theos means God, en means within. So it's the God within your heart. And if you organize your household, even if you live in a remote part of the world, so that new people can come and hear about Krishna, you'll become enthused.
Sometimes
even more. When you see new people come, you become even more enthusiastic.
And, you know, if you can advise me another one, you know, how to, you know, beat with the shoes in the mind.
How to know what?
How to beat the mind with the shoes. The Bhaktisiddhanta.
By reading Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is our main solace, and it's the way to control the mind and to purify the mind. So every day you have to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita because it's Krishna's direct instructions. Bhagavad Gita, we have millions of copies. Bhagavad Gita is billions of copies in India. But who reads Bhagavad Gita? How many people actually sit down and enter into it and let it cleanse their intellect every single day? So the main way to beat your mind every day is to read Gita. It's natural. Just by hearing what Krishna says in every chapter, you can read a little bit every day and you'll get complete solace. Your mind will go straight when you hear Bhagavad Gita because it's Krishna's words and it's completely true and it completely makes sense. Bhagavad Gita just makes sense. And when you read it every day, your intelligence will override your mind and it will say, listen, you're stupid. You're making bad choices here. I know what's right because I heard from Krishna this morning. So you have to read Bhagavad Gita every day in order to fly straight in this world, especially in Kali Yuga. So read Gita. Become a devotee of Gita. Chant a chapter of Gita every day and live with the Gita and apply it to your life. Find one verse in Bhagavad Gita and apply it to your life in every aspect of your life, how you interact with your family, how you interact with your work, how you interact with your mind, your senses. Apply it. And then you'll have no problem. Everything is solved by Bhagavad Gita.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Any other question?
Yes. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Vidarbha Sutta.
Vidarbha Sutta. Hare Krishna. My life has come back into my body.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Nice
please
to hear your voice.
Thank you so much. Such a wonderful class. My question was that you were saying that when we're chanting, we should say, you know, I need help. And sometimes, you know, we do pray like that while chanting, and then other times we're more complacent and we feel like, oh, actually it's not so bad here, and we take shelter of Maya. So sometimes I get concerned that I hope Krishna's not hearing the other side and is just paying attention to when I'm crying out for help. So could you comment a little bit on that?
Well, these are called the waves of material existence. They're always coming and going. And obviously we'll have better days than some. But the fact is that this process is has a cumulative effect. It's a lifelong process. We're in it for the long, long term. Even Kapiladev told his mother when she asked, how do you become detached from the bodily conception of life, which is what you're talking about? Sometimes we revert back, we cross back over that line and we think, oh, things aren't so bad or whatever.
Yeah.
But he said, hearing over a long period of time. So that means it's a lifetime process, and we'll find in our life so many ups and downs and different situations. And in all those situations, when we apply Krishna consciousness, then we begin to have such an understanding and a clear knowledge of Krishna consciousness through applying it in all the different areas of our life, that soon we realize, especially when we start to coming closer to old age, which is a great benefit, actually, for those who have utilized their life for devotional service. When you start to get old, then what happens is all kinds of you start get warning lights start coming on the dashboard that guess what, you're going to die. And then naturally, you know, whatever passion we had in our body when we're 20 and 28 and 32, those things subside when you're, you know, getting in your 40s and 50s, if you're applying Krishna consciousness. And you also have an impending feeling that, yes, I can leave my body at any time also. And all those things add up. So what you're doing now, even in the times when you don't feel completely enthusiastic, but you do it anyway, that'll have a cumulative effect. What you're doing is you're getting capital in devotional service, and you'll be able to spend it all, especially when you get older. Or if you don't get, I mean, old means about to die, so you can die at any time. You'll be able to spend that at the last minutes of your death. If you have minutes or seconds or days or weeks, you'll be able to spend that capital you use day in, day out, whether you felt like it or you didn't feel like it. Suke duke bulo nako harinam varane bolo re. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whether you're happy or sad, doesn't matter. That means whether you're up or down, you keep chanting. You keep doing it in all circumstances. It will have its effect. To have faith in that. Know that it will have its effect.
Thank you. That is so encouraging, because I get very discouraged sometimes when I see all these material desires like demons. It's like a thousand-headed demon in the heart and keeps popping up. You think you've just overcome it, and then it comes back again. It's sometimes very discouraging.
One way you can stay encouraged when you see more material desires coming is remember the cleansing of the Gudicha temple.
Yeah.
Because when Mahaprabhu went and cleansed the temple, they took out all the large pieces and then smaller pieces, smaller, smaller, smaller. And when you clean any place, you'll notice that in the beginning you think, well, it's not so bad, actually. But when you really get into it, then you'll start noticing that the blinds are dirty, the fan is dirty, the walls are dirty. Then you want to replace everything. You know, I mean, you won't be satisfied. You'll just keep going and going. And when you're doing devotional service with sincerity and you really want to get cleansed, you know, you'll notice the impurities. It's when you don't care that you don't notice them. When you really care, that's when you'll start seeing that there's all these things. And you should also know that a lot of these things that are coming out while you're performing the process of devotional service means that you're burning them up. You're losing them. They're going away. Like Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam, that devotees, they don't experience all of their karma the way regular people do. Just like a lot of karma for devotees is burned up in dreams. When you have bad dreams, it means Krishna is giving you a concession so that instead of experiencing something in, you know, so-called real life, you're experiencing in a dream, although all of material life is a dreamlike state. But on that subtle level, you're actually burning up your karma. And it gives you a little token, you know, a suffering here and there. But devotees don't mind suffering because they see it as a way that they're burning out their material life. They let it roll. Tatenu kampam susamikshamanu bunjane evatma kritam vipakam. When the bad reactions come and thoughts come into the mind, whatever these things, the devotee sees them as, you know, Krishna is letting them burn up, and therefore soon I'll become free from them altogether.
Wow, thank you so much, Prabhu. That was so helpful. And, you know, just to let you know, I do get a lot of bad dreams, so I feel grateful now.
In that case, you have to read Gajendra Mokshana, too, because there's a benediction in that chapter. If you read Gajendra Mokshana, you'll no longer see bad dreams.
Yes, I think I should.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Jai. Anything else?
I had a question, Prabhu. This is Lokadatta.
Yes.
It's a wonderful class. It's really wonderful to hear that. I had a question like, how do we acquire steadiness in chanting? Like sometimes, many times my, I'm able to focus on the holy name and really hear it, and many times the mind just looks out the window or just here or there, or just goes inside, in the inside window. I've been chanting for almost 13 years now, and sometimes I wonder, when will this stop? When will I be able to just focus on the holy name? And is there, what can I do to kind of remove this unsteadiness so that I don't, at least don't do it consciously, or don't become neglectful of paying attention?
Yes, nice question. Thank you. One time, some of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to him, and they had been practicing for around 10 years. And they said, Maharaj, you know, we're practicing for a decade now, and very rarely do the pastimes of the Lord come into our mind, and we also find trouble in chanting sometimes. And he said, oh, very good. He said, if you had come to me and said that you're thinking of Krishna all the time and your mind's fully fixed, then I would have been worried about you, that maybe maybe you're doing some cheating process. Mm. So the point is that when you're getting steady in something, it doesn't mean that you'll be on the straight line at all times. What it means is what Krishna tells the yogis in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that wherever your mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. Balance, if you stand on a ball somewhere and you try to balance, you'll notice you go back, forth, back, forth. If you fly from one point, like on the East Coast to the West Coast, and I hope you do sometime soon, then when you're flying in a straight line, actually the jet is always coming back to the center, always coming back to the center. When you drive a car, the reason you have a steering wheel and you're moving it back and forth a little bit is because you're coming to the center. So steadiness doesn't always mean that you're right on the line. It's impossible. But what it means is that your tendency at every minute, your vigilance is towards coming back to the center. So to do that, there are some mechanical things you can do in the process of abhyas. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Krishna says, practice, practice, practice. This is what gets it. So practice, like with anything, if you want to practice for the Olympics and you want to become a javelin thrower, you get a coach. You set up a time when you go out to practice every day and you go do it. And sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you'll get injured and you have to take a week off to repair. So in the same thing, when you're practicing your chanting of Hare Krishna, you're always coming back to the center, but you fortify yourself on all sides by the activities of association and regulations, very important. If you can regulate yourself so that you do it at a certain time, and also I recommend a certain place. You get a sacred place. I have a chair I sit on just under a tree outside my where I live. In the morning time, I'm there when the sun's coming up, and I chant in that chair. Not always. Sometimes in bad weather, I sit inside. But that's become my place. After a while, the place itself becomes saturated with spiritual potency. And also, your mind gets accustomed to it. You have some experience there where you feel some connection to the holy name, and then your mind will come back to that place. Yes, this is where I felt Krishna. I felt him here. So you can take shelter of that place. So set up a little place. And another trick that I do is I put all my things in order the night before. In other words, in the next morning, if I'm going to chant japa in a certain place, I set up the seat, I put it in a nice way, and I also take my beads, I fold them up nicely, and I put them on a little stand right in front of where I'm going to chant. And I also put out the books that I'm going to read. And I put them in the order I'm going to read it. And the effect is, when you wake up in the morning, your mind will go there to that place because you took the time the night before. This all goes towards abhyas. And if you see how yogis, day after day, they do their asanas, they practice their meditation, they do their pranayama, and after a while it becomes second nature habit. So if you do something over and over again like that for your chanting, then it'll become second nature habit also. And there's some taste in that, just in doing the regulation. That's devotion in of itself, that where you'll feel some taste. Is that okay, Loka?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. That's,
okay, great.
Yeah, your point about trying to come back to the middle, that's encouraging.
Yeah, always coming back. That's the point.
Yeah, after you left, I've been really trying to get up at least twice a week, at least by 4 o'clock, and I'm really it helps me a lot to chant with the rising sun. It's really very encouraging and inspiring to chant at that time. So,
oh, that's nice to hear. Yeah, and our mood is, as far as taste coming, is we wait for it to come. Sit and wait for it to come down in your head. Like, there's a certain kind of bird that will only take the water from the rain cloud. And if a thunderbolt comes and hits its head, it still waits for the rain. He doesn't care. He's waiting under the cloud for the rain, right? But then a thunderbolt comes out of the cloud and hits him on the head. But he's still sitting there. He goes, I don't care. I'm still waiting for the rain. So we should be like that. Sit down. If a thunderbolt comes on your head, say, that's okay. I'm taking the rain. I don't care what else. And this is this idea, ashlishava padaratam binashtumam, adarshana marmahatam karotuva, yatatata vapitatatu vampato, maprana natastis epa napara. Dogged determination. Dogged determination. To wait for Krishna to come down, and we can't make the sun rise. It comes up on its own accord. Just do your duty dutifully. And every day, wait for Krishna's mercy, hope for Krishna's mercy, pray for Krishna's mercy. And if it comes, then you rejoice in it. And if it doesn't come, there's also a kind of taste in waiting for it to come dutifully. You'll also get taste from that.
Yeah, many times, I mean, this is a challenge you all face. Is many times when we want something in our material or spiritual life and Krishna does not seem to respond, and internally you start losing hope and start becoming neutral towards Krishna, and what you have said is really an antidote to that, that one should not become lax in one's duty just because Krishna doesn't seem to be responding at our terms.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Loka.
Anybody else has any questions or comments?
Okay, everybody, dear devotees, thank you very much for taking your time. I'm very happy to be connected with you through this call. And I can feel, although I can't see you, I can feel your goodwill and association through the phone, miraculously.
Thank you.